It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Hello there, and welcome to the program today. Thanks so much for being here. On today's show, we have a great guest. He is Dr. Adam R. Kendall, the Program Development Advisor of the Palliative Care Program at Hogue Hospital and a board-certified palliative care specialist with a background in family practice medicine and molecular biology. Welcome, Dr. Kendall.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to the show.
It's our pleasure. Now, we're living in a time where doctors are quite good at keeping people alive indefinitely with the aid of machines and with aggressive medical intervention. As many as 30,000 people in America are being kept alive in comatose and permanently vegetative states. Now, if this is what the person wanted and that person's family has unlimited resources they can spend to keep their loved ones alive, that, of course, is fine. But most people, 70 to 95%, would rather refuse aggressive medical treatment than have their lives medically prolonged in incompetent conditions. I mean,
sure,
we have
sure.
2 million Americans right now so frail, they're surviving only through the use of feeding tubes. So this is why it's so important to make sure you have a living will so your wishes can be followed, right?
That's correct. Technology has done great things in the past 2 decades and has allowed for individuals to live out their life expectancy. And at the same time, however, everybody does have a 100% mortality rate. All of us will get to a point where our bodies just will not work well, even with advanced technology.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a time where it's very important to talk with family members or to be thinking about with family members what it is an individual would want if they were facing a life-limiting disease where something like a ventilator or a breathing machine, CPR, may actually present more problems and more lack of dignity than any benefit, and
mm-hmm.
Sometimes only theoretical benefit, because in a lot of individuals, CPR is not known to be a successful treatment that is strongly approved. So living wills are a type of advanced healthcare directive, and I want to talk to you today about both the advanced healthcare directive and something new, a new tool called the POLST, or Physician Order for Life Sustaining Treatment. I'm going to use the term POLST.
Okay.
And the living will, which is a type of advanced healthcare directive, states that I'm at a point where I do not want to be on long-term life support if there's no reasonable chance of recovery. And
mm-hmm.
that's oftentimes very important to spell out if someone is dealing with a life-limiting disease, or even before that, if someone has strong feelings about being on life support and has
mm-hmm.
has seen loved ones or others unnecessarily prolonged in a dying state, but unnecessarily prolonged by technology in a state of very poor dignity or quality of life. And an advanced healthcare directive does that well. It spells that out, but it leaves a lot of room for interpretation, Deborah. What
okay.
We oftentimes find is somebody has written that out, but they're in the hospital setting, and family members and doctors have a hard time really defining just what is a terminal disease where there's
right.
no reasonable chance for recovery. So
right.
It's a very limited tool in that way in terms of actually putting thoughts into action. And that's the real reason that the POLST came out several years ago in Oregon and other states. And in California, it is now a tool available to people as well as physicians in facing advanced illness. And the first of this year, we are able to use that in hospitals as well to really put an advanced healthcare directive into action. It's a real order that actually states, I do not want CPR or a feeding tube because I know that the risks outweigh benefits from what I've been informed by physicians, as well as my views about what good quality of life means and what the actual benefits and risks are. So it's a real way of custom tailoring mm-hmm. care at the advanced stages of disease, and it really puts things into action because doctors, no matter which hospital they're in, they actually have to abide by that order.
That's, it's such a sensitive subject, and that's so good to know that you have these tools at your disposal. And it's a great time to do it when you're feeling healthy, rather
that's
than
right.
when you're in
that's
the hospital,
right.
and like
mm-hmm.
you said, perhaps on medication, not thinking your most clearest.
Even if you know, an individual wants to have every bit of technology to prolong survival, even in the face of a parent dying, this is a good tool to actually show doctors, I am one of those individuals who does want to be kept alive on life support, even in a vegetative state. And there are individuals that really want that care. And so you're perfectly right that it is something that can be done even in perfect health in order to relay this information in the event that that you're incapacitated and unable to make decisions, and you don't want to leave family members guessing if you have strong views, and especially if these treatments present considerable risks. It's very similar to having a discussion with a surgeon when somebody has an advanced illness and really taking a hard look at the possibility of not making it through on the operating table.
Right.
And people that make a decision to do not resuscitate when they're in the hospital, which means do not attempt to do CPR, chest compressions, for those individuals, it's just like saying I'm too sick to really go through surgery as well, and I wouldn't want to pass away on the operating table without really good comfort care as a better alternative. So the DNR, or do not resuscitate order, is essentially what the POLST does outside of the hospital. A physician order for life-sustaining treatment stays with that person when they leave in a nursing home or in the home setting, and is not something that is just temporary, but it can also be changed as time goes on.
Good.
So some individuals choose to have parts of the orders to actually state, I do want aggressive resuscitating measures, and then at a later time decide to actually change that with the assistance of a physician. And I should say that the POLST is something that a physician has to sign off on. It's not something like the Advanced Healthcare Directive, which family and a person can do on their own without a physician actually providing input or signing off on it. And I wanted to actually, take what you said about this being a sensitive subject, take that very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about death and dying and even listening to a show about death and dying is deeply tender and something that's very difficult to do. And I wanted to just say that it's a privilege to be able to speak openly about this. It's a very sensitive subject that each individual has their own views about.
Well, I appreciate you telling us about the POLST. That was something I didn't know about. And the living will can be general or quite specific. But again, you should talk with your loved ones as you're filling out these documents, to make sure everybody's on the same page, right?
That's correct. You know, in fact, if the advance directive or living will is done without family being involved, it can actually be rescinded when somebody is in the hospital, they are on life support, and the wishes are being called into question, you know, and family members are saying that that the circumstances during which someone filled that out are very different from the circumstances they're in now in the hospital.
Right.
And we actually do need to listen to family members when they're telling us that that we need to really use the advance directive with a grain of salt, because somebody may have not been completely aware of the condition that they are now facing. So it is important for everyone to really make sure family members are on the same page as they are when they fill out these types of directives.
Now, what kind of support services, if any, does Hoag offer to families who are trying to make these very crucial and painful decisions about sustaining the lives of their loved ones on machines if they don't have a living will or a POLST?
Well, I'd like to share with you the palliative care program. We are a consultation service that sees individuals with advanced illness that are trying to fight the suffering of disease, but are also facing difficult decisions, just as this. And myself being a board specialist in this area and a clinical nurse specialist, Janet Batt, being on our service, we can oftentimes shed light onto what has helped with other patients and families in very similar situations, as well as somewhat take the burden off of other specialists that are providing their own care towards modifying the disease, and provide kind of a global picture and describe, you know, what the the real burdens and downsides are, or the benefits are, of certain treatments that these directives talk about. I also want to shed light on the fact that there are social workers that do great work both in the hospital as well as in the outpatient treatment centers, such as a cancer center, and those social workers know exactly how to provide good counseling and information regarding these directives. I do want to point out there's a good website to take a look at. It's the California Commission for Compassionate Care, and listeners can go on www.finalchoices.org for a great deal of information and to download some of these forms.
Thank you so much, Dr. Adam Kendall. It's been a pleasure having you on the show with us. Please stay with us. There's so much more to come.